الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفر ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه من أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا مولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله أرسله بالحق بشيرا ونذيرا بين يدي الساعة من يطع الله ورسوله فقد رشد ومن يعصي ما فإنه لا يضر إلا نفسه ولا يضر الله شيئا أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على سيدنا مولانا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا مولانا محمد وأصحابه وبارك وسلم وقد قال تبارك وتعالى ومن يلعن الله فلن تجد له نصيرا صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم ونحن على ذلك من الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين. My most respected elders and brothers in Islam, first and foremost we should make shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has allowed us to spend another Ramadan, whatever days we had. We should make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts the broken ibadat that we have done so far. We cannot fulfill the rite of this month. And we make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows us to fulfill the rite of the remainder of the month. There is a famous hadith which we have heard again and again, that the month of Ramadan, أَوَّلُهَا رَحْمَةٌ, that the first part of it is rahmat. وَأَوْسَتُهَا مَغْفِرَةٌ, and the middle part of the month of Ramadan is the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the last 10 days is إِتْقُمْ مِنَ النَّارِ, is seeking protection from the fire of Jahannam. What I wish to speak about today is the opposite of rahmat, those things that bring the la'nat of Allah. We are trying to get the rahmat of Allah. What are those things that if a person does, then instead of getting the rahmat of Allah, he's getting the curse of Allah. When we look into the Quran Sharif and the ahadith of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there are many ahadith where Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, with the words of the ahadith says, La'anallahu. The curse of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is on such a person, such a person, such a person. One of those hadiths is the famous hadith that we hear in the month of Ramadan. That Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he was climbing up the minbar, and he said, Ameen, 3 times. And Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum asked Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, why did you say Ameen? One of those people was that person who when he hears your name, he does not read durood upon you. He does not read durood upon you. The favors of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam are so many. We cannot even count. And reading durood is just one rite that we owe to Nabi Kareem. It's only one rite. That's besides following every sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And having in our heart the aqidat and the belief that whatever everyone tells us, and if Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Allah and Rasul sallam told us something, then that is always correct. Everyone else can be wrong. But what Allah and Rasul sallam told us is correct. That is also a right that we owe to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So amongst those rights is also the recitation of Durood Sharif. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Hazrat Shaykh rahmatullah alayhi, has written an old kitab on Fazali Durood. And we should recite it and we should read it. And he mentioned one hadith there where Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that the worst miser is that person when he hears my name and he doesn't recite the Durood. How hard is it to recite the Durood? Nothing to spend. But at that time also he doesn't recite the Durood on Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the easiest Durood, which ulama have mentioned, is sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the easiest Durood. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned that person who hears the muazzin, whatever he's saying in the azan, and he repeats the thing. And after that he recites Durood. And thereafter he recites the dua after azan. We are making dua for that, for Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to get that maqam in Mahmood, that special place on the day of Qiyamah, where Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will intercede. Then because this person had answered the azan, he read that dua for Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, wajaba shafa'ati, my shafa'at and my intercession has become necessary for such a person. Hazrat Thanvi rahmatullah alayhi has mentioned that at that time when you're making that dua after azan, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that my shafa'at is wajib for that person. After making that dua after azan, make dua for yourself also. Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah has written in Zadul Ma'ad that it comes in the Sunan, in the Ahadith, that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, after reciting the dua after azan, he should read, Allahumma inna nas'aluka al-afwa wal-afiyah wal-mu'afat al-da'imah fi al-deen wal-dunya wal-akhirah. And we can also add there, wal-fawza bil-jannati wal-najata min al-nar. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has also mentioned that in this month of Ramadan, seek jannat, seek protection from jahannam. And today we know the word afiyat is one of the most important things. So many things are happening. Each and every person is going through so much of difficulties, different types of difficulties each person knows. And this afiyat is such a thing that where a person is safe from all types of calamities in dunya and akhirat. So after every azan, after we read the dua after azan, make this dua, Allahumma nas'aluka al-afwa wal-afiyah. And make any other dua that you want for yourself. If a person can't remember so many duas, remember the one beautiful dua of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allahumma inna nas'aluka min khayri ma sa'alaka minhu nabiyuka wa habibuka Muhammadun sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. O Allah, we ask you for all those things that your piyari Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked for. Wa na'udhu bika min sharri ma sa'adaka. And we seek protection from all those things that your piyari Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sought protection from. So one of those people that will be cursed, Allah curses such a person. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said the curse of Allah is on such a person is that when he hears my name and he doesn't read durood. On a Friday we know after the Asr Salah in the riwayat of Tabarani, when Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that person recites the following durood, Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin al-Nabil ummihi wa ala alihi wa sallim taslima. That person who reads it 80 times, and then 80 years of his minor sins will be forgiven. So these are just few duruds. There are so many, and durood doesn't only have to be recited on a Jum'ah. At any other time also we recite durood on Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The second person that is mentioned, where is mentioned in the hadith, that person is cursed, is where the month of Ramadan comes, and he did not take benefit from the month of Ramadan. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned in the hadith, مَنْ لَمْ يَدَعْ قُولَ الزُّورِ فَلِيسَ لِلَّهِ حَاجَةٍ أَيَّ طَعَامَهُ وَشَرَابَهُ. That person who does not leave out sin, Allah is not worried about him staying away from his food and drinking and going to his wife. The purpose for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not to punish us and say you mustn't eat and drink and go to your wives. Allah wanted to build that taqwa in us, that if you can stay away, Hazrat Thanvi rahmatullahi alayhi explains, that if you can stay away from halal things, Allah is showing you, you have got the willpower to stay away from haram also. And normally we quote the ayat and we say, لَعَلَّهُمْ يَتَّقُونَ, that that person who fasted in the month of Ramadan, then he has got taqwa. But the word that Allah uses is لَعَلَّ, perhaps he will get taqwa. If he kept the fast correctly, and he did it according to how Allah and His Rasulullah want us to do it, then inshallah you will get that level of taqwa. Not that everyone that just passed the month of Ramadan, he spent it how he wanted to. He was committing sins also, and now you got a certificate of taqwa. So the month of Ramadan has come. It is a training ground. And whether we passed or not will be determined after the month of Ramadan. Whether we lived our life the way we were spending in the month of Ramadan, spending that extra time of recitation of Quran, remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, coming early to the masjid, all these things will be determined after the month of Ramadan. You really get your results after, to see whether we have passed the test or we haven't passed the test. Yes, obviously after the month of Ramadan, you won't have the same type of barakat and blessings that you get in the month of Ramadan. You won't have the same type of feeling that you have in the month of Ramadan. But who said we are worshippers of feelings? We are not a worshipper of feelings, we are a worshipper of Allah. Whether we feel like reading our salah, whether we don't feel like reading our salah, we still have to read our salah. No one wants to go to work every day, but he still goes to work. Why? Because he knows it's a duty. So when it's a duty of ours to fulfill the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, why we are saying we only when we feel it, then only we'll do it. So the second person under the curse of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be that person who the month of Ramadan comes and he wastes the month of Ramadan, he did not take benefit of the month of Ramadan. The third person is that person who has one of his parents or both of his parents and they want a means of him getting his jannah. Why? Because he wasn't fulfilling the rights. Hazrat Thanvi rahmatullah alayhi has mentioned that when it comes to rights of people, then you get three types of people. You get those people, number one, they don't fulfill anyone's rights. They don't fulfill anyone's rights. So those people are sinful. Because they're not fulfilling anyone's rights. So they're under the curse of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala all the time. They're under the punishment of Allah all the time. Then you get those people, the second group. They are fulfilling rights. But they don't know how to weigh the people's rights. They fulfill only some people's rights. And other people's, they will neglect them. So you'll get one person. He will fulfill his parents' rights to such an extent, but he'll neglect his wife and children and all other people. Then you get another person, he'll be fulfilling his wife's rights and his children's rights, he'll neglect his parents. So he doesn't know how to balance it. Doesn't know how to balance it. And then you get the third group. They are those people. They don't know how to balance the rights of Allah from the rights of human beings and the rights of people. So a true believer, a complete believer, he understands, إِنَّ اللَّهَ أَعْطَى كُلَّ ذِي حَقٍّ حَقَّهُ. Allah has given each and every person his right in his right time. You need to know what are the rights. When to fulfill the rights. For example, a person will say that I need to be in my business. طَلَبُ كَسْبِ الْحَلَالِ فَرِيضَةٌ بَعْدَ فَرِيضَةٌ. He says, no, it's farz that I must go and seek sustenance. Now namaz time is coming, azan is going, not going to namaz. Why? He says, no, this is farz. Allah says, by it is farz. But after fulfilling the faraiz of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, at that time it was farz for you to go to the masjid and fulfill the right of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Likewise, when it comes to parents and other people also, we need to understand, go to the ulama if you don't understand how to fulfill the rights, which person, what are the rights of the parents, what are the rights of one's wife, what are the rights of one's neighbors, children, etc. We need to go to the ulama, learn from them how to balance it and understand the rights in the right time. So when it comes to parents, there are two important words that we need to understand. One is respect and the other is obedience. When it comes to respect, we need to respect our parents at all times. Whether they tell us to do the right thing or the wrong thing, whether they are Muslims or non-Muslims, we have to respect them at all times. Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam incident is an example in the Quran Sharif. Even though his father was a kafir, but he addressed his father with respect. Ya Abati, Ya Abati, oh my beloved father, he was addressing. So when it comes to respect, you have to respect them at all times. Whether they tell us to do the right thing, wrong thing, whether they are Muslims or not. And as far as obedience is concerned, you only obey them when they tell you to do the correct thing and the right thing according to Shariat. And they don't tell you to do anything against Shariat, then you have to respect them and obey them. But if they tell you to do something against Shariat, then you will not obey them, but you will respectfully tell them. You still have respect, you still respectfully tell them that I cannot accept what you are saying. Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas radiallahu ta'ala, whose incident is mentioned in Quran, that his mother, when he accepted Islam, his mother told him that I will go on a hunger strike. And he was regarded as a person who was very, very pious, very, very respectful to his parents. She said, I'll go on a hunger strike until you leave Islam. He said, no, I'm sorry, I can't do that. Few days went by, she's not eating. People are telling him, see, you are the cause of your mother even suffering. And now Shaitan will come and play in your mind also. That you are the cause. But Sahaba was Sahaba radiallahu anhum, they sat with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they were so strong. He told his mother respectfully, he told her, that I have a lot of respect for you and everything. But this is one thing I cannot accept. I cannot leave the fold of Islam. If you decide to not to eat and die in that condition, that is your choice. But I cannot leave this. I cannot leave Islam. And after his mother, she stopped that hunger strike and she started eating. And then she also accepted Islam because he went to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, asked Nabi Sallam to make dua for her also. Allah revealed the verses, وَوَصَّيْنَا الْإِنسَانَ بِوَالِدَيْهِ حُسْنًا وَإِنْ جَاهَدَاكَ لِتُشْرِكَ بِهِ مَا لَيْسَ لَكَ بِهِ عِلْمٌ فَلَا تُطِعْهُمَا. That we command you that you must be kind and good to your parents. But if they command you to do something against the Sharia, then you cannot follow them. So the third thing that is mentioned in the hadith, that when a person, he does not respect his parents, and he does not fulfill the rights of his parents, according to how Shariat has laid down, then such a person is under the curse of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Another person under the curse of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that person who is involved in incest and riba. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, La'anallahu akila riba wa mu'akilahu. And anyone involved in riba and incest, all of them are cursed. Even if you don't look at any of the ahadith and any of the warnings, just one ayat is sufficient for us to understand what a grave sin this is. Allah says in the Quran, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu taqullaha wa dharu ma baqiya min ar-riba in kuntum mu'minin. Fa in lam taf'alu fa'adhanu biharbin min Allah. You had war with Allah. From the start you can never win. You're in a lost cause. You can never win. You had a war with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And one ayat, and remember this riba and incest, it's not only haram for our ummah. It was haram for the previous ummahs also, for the Jews, who are the inventors of this whole haram system of the banking system and this whole riba system. It's haram upon them. But they were cursed from that time. Allah says, فَبِظُلْمٍ مِّنَ الَّذِينَ هَادُوا حَرَّمْنَا عَلِيْهِمْ طَيِّبَاتٍ وَحِلَّتْ لَهُمْ وَبِصَدِّهِمْ عَنْ سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ وَكَفِرٍ وَأَخْذِهِمُ الرِّبَى. Allah cursed them. They were under the curse of Allah. Allah made such things haram upon them because they didn't listen to Allah, which were normally halal. Things that are normally halal, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it haram upon them. Why? Because you went against my command. And now we can understand in whatever is happening around us with these floods, etc., we can understand the importance of basic things which we have denied. Water, electricity, which supposed to be things that are normally things that we normally have all the time. But we are being deprived of these things. Allah says that when a nation becomes sinful, we can't look at one place and say that they are being deprived, so they are sinful. No. It's when a whole nation becomes sinful, then even the good and the bad, everyone suffer because of us. So Allah says the basic things, the halal things, will make it haram upon you. So it's very, very important. Unfortunately, Mufassirin mentioned that Muslims have become like non-Muslims, they have become so greedy. Just because of greed of wealth, they also want to get involved in this interest and be under the war of Allah, and be with war with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is, I just mentioned just a few ahadith where Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that these are the people who will be under the curse of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Otherwise there are so many ahadith of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam where the curse of Allah, for example, the curse of Allah is upon the person who swears the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. The curse of Allah is upon the person who is involved in alcohol and wine, drugs, etc. That person who swears his parents, they are also under the curse of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That man who imitates a lady, that lady who imitates a man, they are under the curse of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Those people that are involved in homosexuality, they are also under the curse. So there are so many ahadith of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam speaking of the curse of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This month of Ramadan is a month of raham, a month of rahmat, and a month of mercy. It must not be that we bring such actions instead of bringing the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are bringing the curse of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon us. Make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah ta'ala give us tawfiq of fulfilling the rest of the month, whatever is left of this month, that we fulfill the rights of this month. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala relieve each and every person from his difficulties. There are so many people that are going through different types of difficulties. Allah knows the difficulties of each and every person. Allah ta'ala remove the difficulties, not only in this country, in the whole world. Wa akhiru da'wana, and alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.